This is Space Cats Peace Turtles, the unofficial podcast for Fantasy Flight's Twilight Imperium.
Episode 343,
Most Anticipated Board Games.
2024.
Music by Ben Prunty, featuring Matt Martins
and Hunter Donaldson.
What a weird episode.
Why is it weird? Why does it have to be weird?
This one's funny because what's going to come later is just me walking around the office with a sound recorder. I almost made this episode like an uncut thing. Like I was like going to just start rolling and literally walk around and like bust into people's offices and be like, hey,
that maybe would have been cool.
It would have been cool, but yeah,
you should have done that.
I know. I didn't want to like spring too many things on my new coworkers.
Yeah,
but
so we kind of threw a curveball at y'all.
Yeah.
we put out a poll and we had a lot of great options on it, including one about video games that we asked you to pick, and you didn't.
Yep.
Of course, you picked Most Anticipated Board Games of 2024. And that's the episode that you're getting. But we didn't say it was going to be our most anticipated games of 2024. We just said they were going to be games anticipated in 2024 by somebody.
Yeah.
And what we decided was that actually you're just kind of getting the leader games like staff recommendations.
Right.
You're going to get what they think because they're interesting board game people.
Yeah.
We are not board game reviewers. I don't know how many times we've explained this, and you know we talk about one game.
Yeah.
So why do I have to know about other games?
I don't have time for the other ones. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I'm just not gonna get around to it unless now my coworkers will have me play games they're excited about.
Yes.
I have had access to board game nights in the past.
Yes.
But I never made time for them.
Right.
I didn't go to them.
Mm-hmm.
But now...
Well, you didn't have cool friends. Your friends were losers.
Shade on EJ? Is that what's happening?
No shade on EJ. EJ's my friend, not your
friend. Oh, okay. Chris Rogers is lame.
No, Chris Rogers is my friend, not your friend. I'm talking about those guys whose names I can't remember. Those guys are all your
friends. My poker friends are not cool.
Poker friends I can't remember.
Okay.
I get Reed, too. Reed's my friend, not your friend.
Well, I didn't go to board game nights, but now I work in a board game office. Board game nights are just going to happen in the middle of the afternoon sometimes.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll be contractually obligated to go to a board game night.
Yeah, I heard that in one of the interviews you got hosed a little bit for not being like a huge board game person.
Yeah, which, Cole calls me out.
Yeah, which is good. You need to get called out.
I need
out.
To get an education.
You know,
I'm
to
here.
Be fair, that game that he called you out about, which I already know.
Yeah.
But I had never played it myself either.
Right.
But Shelton had it, and I would always be like, oh, we should play Bonanza sometime.
We gotta play Bonanza.
Yeah.
And it turns out, we should have been playing Bonanza all
those
years.
Yeah, Bonanza's cool. Yeah. I like Bonanza. Not as much as I like Balatro.
No, don't do it again. Stop. I had a week out. I haven't had internet or a computer for a week, and I was like, oh my God.
You've been cured.
I was cured, maybe.
Balatro update, Matt is cured.
I tried to boot it up yesterday,
and
my Steam Deck didn't have any battery, and I was like, okay, the universe is keeping me away.
Yeah, it won't let you do it. Well, also, you got homework you got to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about you playing Balatro. You ain't got that kind of time.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
If you have video game time and you're not playing the
Super Metroid.
Yeah, you got to be playing. Yeah.
What show is this?
I will take Super Metroid off the schedule if you don't play it.
Yeah.
If you're not going to play it, I'm going to be like, all right.
No, I've been playing.
It's Hunter's show now, and we're just going to do what Hunter wants to do. We're not doing any of these Matt episodes anymore. Anyways, this is Old Gamer's Almanac.
Yeah, sure. On the front end, are we going to talk about what we're excited for? Do we want to save it for the end?
Yeah, so I will say this, actually. Actually, let's get one thing out of the way. It's good to use time, I think, on our show to do this. This is our public service. You know, Codex 4 promised verbally on Facebook, of all places, Dane Beltrami.
Facebook video.
Bane Deltrami. Bane Deltrami, the bane of my existence, promised vocally, he said out loud, Codex 4.
Yep.
Okay. He said that. All right.
So that's our most anticipated board game.
That's my most anticipated board game of the year is Codex 4 for Twilight Imperium.
Yeah.
It's coming. Because we were promised.
Said so.
Yes.
We have no other information than that. We just, besides the fact that we were told and we're not letting him off the hook.
I may or may not be able to say.
We're not letting him off the hook, is all I'm saying.
You owe us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And listen, if we do not receive our Codex 4 as we were promised, then me and Matt have always had this play in our back pocket of executing the Space Cats protocol and unofficially stealing the IP.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Suddenly Space Cats, the board game, the movie, the board game comes
suddenly
out.
Suddenly that starts
looking real good.
Uh-huh. you don't think they would? I think we would absolutely, if we started a Kickstarter that was our own version of Twilight Imperium. Yeah. I think we absolutely could make that game, especially them knowing that we would put so much content into it.
The Kickstarter would be, hire us a lawyer so that we know how to do this exactly right. We'll eat the development costs. We just need a really good lawyer.
We need a good lawyer because this is going to be quite the coup we're pulling off. We've possibly incriminated ourselves with hundreds and hundreds of hours of talking that is on public record.
Right.
It would be funny if we just took down the podcast in order, and then we ordered all of the Space Cats community to insist there never was a show.
We don't know what you're talking about.
Hey,
listeners, we were never here.
We were never here. You have to back us up.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need this.
I've never heard that. What show?
What show?
Space Cats Peace Turtles?
That sounds like a bunch of nonsense.
Are you talking about the Twilight Imperium subreddit?
You're talking about Space Cats Peace Turtles, the movie, the board game?
Oh, that's a new product.
Yeah.
That's a new idea.
A whole new thing.
Not similar to other existing properties.
Never heard of it.
Yes.
Hey, Google, how do you scrub an entire podcast feed from the internet forever?
Google? Yeah, so that's obviously something that we're excited about and we're owed, and it will happen at some point in the future, presumably in 2024.
Right.
Dane. Did you hear me?
Dane.
Within 2024, Dane.
Yeah.
Do not make... if you make me wait till 2025, we're executing Alpha Protocol.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
It's all going downhill from here.
Yeah.
And we'll get... We will get lawyers.
Operation Bacterial Weapon.
Yes. We will bacterial weapon your house, Dane. Anyways, what are we looking forward to that is not Twilight Imperium related to?
Well, I'll also get out of the way of because it's obvious that we're excited for ARCs.
Of course, we're excited for ARCs. We're already covering it.
That's the whole thing.
We're going to do a lot of ARC stuff. Yeah. There's more ARC stuff to come in the pipeline.
And in further kind of on-brand stuff, we like Cole Worley. Molly House. Dope as heck.
Molly House is a very cool idea for a game, and I think it will be a very exciting experience. I don't know if that comes out in 2024.
He's aiming for it.
He's aiming for it.
I mean, they say it's happening. End of the year. End of the year, we should see it.
Okay.
Hopefully we can get you and I can look at it much closer very soon. I'm excited. If you don't know what Molly House is, it's a historical game by Cole's other company, Whirly Good Games.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about the Molly Houses of England. And it's like an almost social deduction game where you live in a Molly House and might be selling out your friends in kind of a... It's a historical game, so it's dealing with some stuff, basically. And I think it's just fascinating what Cole does with his historical games and how he makes you think about some of the things at the top. he approaches tough subject matter.
Yeah, you can tell how tough it is by how Matt can't even.
I don't
want to
talk about it. I don't want to.
You can't. You're getting nervous.
It's also like I don't have the like research in front of me to like talk about it at length. But it's just it's a cool idea. Anyways,
people,
it's about going to parties and you collect joy. Like your income, your points you score are like joy that you get out of going to fun parties with your friends.
I mean, I like to party, so that sounds great.
Hunter likes to party. I'm genuinely excited for, and I believe this is supposed to come out 2024 because I don't think this company or designer does stuff with like super long legs on the like hype train, but Eric Lane co-developed a Mass Effect board game with Calvin Wong-Saloon. who you can hear on our episode 300.
Yes.
Calvin Wong Saloon is a writer for the Twilight Imperium RPG.
Yummy.
So you're going to get a bit of that kind of TI sci-fi flair in your Mass Effect
game. Mass Effect. Wow.
So it's, I don't know much more about that game, but those are two people that I trust with board games.
Yeah.
So I will be checking out that Mass Effect game, even though I generally don't like jump on board with IP games.
Yeah.
Mass Effect's a cool enough IP, I guess.
I don't know. Is that something we think?
Is it cool enough?
I think Mass Effect is a cool IP. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
my issues with Mass Effect have to do with the game part.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the story part or the aliens or whatever. Right, I think I like all that.
If you give me a bunch of cards with pictures of the Krogan, like, cool.
Yeah, dude.
I'm in.
I mean, even the characters, I think I was like mostly...
It's FemShep on the cover.
FemShep is real Shep.
Is the real Shep, yeah. And so that's the way your Mass Effect should be.
No shade at that guy. I can't remember his... I will say this, though. I can't remember the voice actor for male Shep. I can just remember Jennifer Hale,
who
is incredible and a wonderful actress. What else?
That's all I got. I literally, I had three games that I know about for 2024. That's how stupid I am.
Yeah. We're just not really those guys.
Why did we make that a poll option?
I don't know.
Why did y'all vote for when have we ever been tastemakers for board games?
We're not tastemakers. We don't want to make taste. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like something. Is there anything else that I would want to talk about board game wise?
There's just games I want to play in 2024.
Sure, like what?
Blood on the Clock Tower. I would like to get more Blood on the Clock Tower in my system.
You always want to play more Blood on the Clock Tower.
I've only played it twice ever.
Yeah, that's true.
And I love that genre.
I will say this. For Blood on the Clock Tower, I had a game where I was the devil, the imp, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I won. Well, me and my minions, we won.
Yeah.
And there was something about that kind of made it where like, all right, I get it. Like, I don't know. Like that once you, cause it's like, I feel like there's so much mystery when you're not the imp.
Right.
You know, like you're kind of just like, I've got this tiny little piece of the puzzle and I have had no, you know what?
But the there imp is knows one, too much, you're saying? Like that.
I think you sort of see so too much control. Of the game.
Yeah, interesting.
And it sort of makes it where you're like, oh, wow, a lot of this game is just kind of not knowing stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know a lot as the imp. You sort of always know. I mean, you don't know everything, but you know quite a bit.
Yeah.
The only thing left really for me to do would be actually to run.
Yeah.
A game of Blood on the Clock Tower. However, I don't find that to be very likely because I'm not the personality type to run one. Not really.
Why?
Here's the thing. I don't like to make anybody do anything.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? I'm I'm not a guy that makes, even when I do stand up, I'm not making you laugh.
Right.
I'm entertaining myself. And if you want to get on board with me, you are welcome to, but you do not have to at all.
Uh-huh.
There's no have to, basically. So I think there's something about the, like, I think this is the same reason that, like, I've many times when it comes to like DMing, I've had ideas for stuff that I think would be really good as a DM. But the couple times that I've DM'd, the group has always fallen apart because I get tired of trying to make people get together and do something.
Yeah.
So right. like if people don't want to do something, I generally feel this sense of like, I don't want to put energy into trying to get you to do stuff that maybe you're like, oh, I don't want to do or I don't care. If I feel that sense of I don't care, maybe I don't want to do it, then I'm just kind of like, well, then why are we doing this over here putting all this energy into it? Uh-huh. It's like with the podcast. You can click on the podcast. You can listen to it if you want or don't. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying. How much advertising do we do? You know what I mean? Like, we are here for the freaks that want us, and that's what I like. Yeah. I want to be a freak in a dark room, and you come on in if you want to, you know? But I'm not going to be outside of my freak room being like, you got
to
come on in here.
See the freak room.
I just want to be this little weirdo out there that some people mess with and some people don't, you know? And that's good for me. I'm down for that, especially with my new OLED television. Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm excited about. I just got Deep Red on 4K Blu-ray. This is one of the greatest movies ever made. Dario Argento.
Okay.
It's a giallo. Uh-huh. Okay. But it's a freaky giallo.
The number of times I've heard you talk about giallo.
Yeah, dude. Giallo, I mean, that was my... You know when everybody was like baking bread during the pandemic? I was just watching giallo. That's what I did. Uh-huh. That's how I expanded myself. Was like, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to learn a new thing to do. I'm going to learn a language.
I'm going to watch every Italian horror film.
Dude, I was like, I just want to watch sexy rich Italian people stab each other. That's what I did for a year, dude. And that's what it is. That's what, and it's dumb too. That makes it sound really bleak. It's silly.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Right.
They're like putting like tight gloves on and like touching knives. Like that's like what that Deep Red, literally the title sequence is just a gloved hand grazing various knives. Have anything to do with, like, I don't even know what you're watching. It's just in there.
That's
incredible.
Really, wow.
You gotta follow me on Instagram. I'll post it. Follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
@hungryhunty. Follow me on Letterboxd too. Yeah, I think you can just look me up on Letterboxd, Hunter Donaldson. Just look me up. Follow me.
I want to start doing TikToks.
No,
because I hate the person who owned my house before me.
Oh.
And I just want to put them on blast constantly.
Ooh.
And film the terrible things they did to my new house.
Yeah.
My new 100-year-old house.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I hate them. And that's kind of my new, that's my new media conglomerate.
That's your new, yeah, that's your most anticipated board
this.
Game.
Yeah, my most anticipated board game is how am I going to ruin this guy's life in, as much as he's ruined mine. So that's my goal for 2024.
Hell yeah.
Put this contractor on blast.
Yeah, put him on blast.
I don't know his name, so I'm not doing a very good job so far.
No, you're not. You're not using your platform, buddy.
I don't want to get sued for libel.
Well,
I guess.
I feel like it's about time that we cut on over to the Leader Games office, where you're going to hear a lot of really solid recs.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're going to do a fun down.
Fun down again? Did we do a fun down last week? Or is that what's coming?
Fun down is what we do because of...
Because of my situation.
Yeah, because of our lack of access to you. We
sort
of do fun downs as a way to sort of...
Keep things
get
going.
Around them, you know? Yeah. And we're trying, people. Listen.
Well, good.
We're trying. He's a hot commodity, you know?
All right.
I like how I'm already... Have you noticed how, like we'll both have to do something? And I'll be like... I'll have, like, a couple days where I'll be like... Oh, I'm like moving in. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm done, you know? And
then
you're like, I've moved. We're probably gonna be hearing about this for the next year.
3 weeks,
you know what I mean?
3 weeks of driving. Turns out, I don't know why. That's what happens when you get rear ended and your car is trapped. My cat is still in Arkansas.
Yeah.
My cat is just there. And my computer is in Arkansas. So Hunter is editing the show for the foreseeable future.
Yeah,
because
no cat.
I literally have no computer.
No cat, no computer.
Yep.
Your life is quite
I don't have a TV stand. We bought a new TV. Yesterday, because the current TV we have,
you got a new
I
TV.
I can't put it in. It's just a small one. Like, we just got a little.
Does it have HDR at least? I can't believe you got.
I don't know.
TV ain't got HDR.
I don't think so.
Oh, man, come on.
It's a $150 TV.
I'll buy you a TV.
Okay. Okay. Go for it. Yeah.
I'll
sure.
I'll buy you a TV.
All right. Let's
I
do
just
it.
Feel like it's like
coward.
I'm not a coward. What's cowardly about? I'm just saying. I'll buy you a TV.
Oh.
It's just like I was trying to play. What was The Last of Us Part 2 on your TV? It didn't have HDR. And I was like, I don't understand. I don't know. I didn't even know you could buy a HD TV that didn't have HDR. I mean, I guess HDR is... I'm just... If I have something, I always assume that it's old.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'm on the extra old.
Yeah,
game,
you're further along than me in that way. Yeah.
Well, let's do a quick ad and then we'll talk to Leader Games.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, Cole, how's it going?
Hey, coworker Matt.
Coworker Matt, we did it. We made it. I'm here. And Hunter and I are doing this episode where our patrons told us to tell them the games we're excited for. but I literally play two games in my life, and it's Arx and Twilight Imperium. So I'm excited for Arx, but we decided to go around the office and hit everybody up.
Can I lightly embarrass you?
Yeah, please.
Because I love when you stay with me on one of your visits. Yeah. I was like, let's play Bonanza. You're like, Bonanza? And I feel like now I've got this new life goal of just like introducing you to old games that you should play.
I should have played 10 years ago.
But this is the problem. Like, I don't play video games anymore because I just play StarCraft. Like, it's...
Yeah,
I
mean, right.
I'm playing Helldivers 2.
Okay.
Which I have feelings about, but we're not going to talk about it. We'll talk about some of that.
Have you played Balatro yet?
I have.
It's not for you?
It's not for me. You know what it
you
is?
Haven't, you
know
haven't is? Ridden the dragon yet?
There's a viral message that just said like, oh, cool, there's a new indie game. I sure hope it's not gambling with more steps. Balatro, I got my little high from and then thought like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this in the drawer with the vape pens and all the other...
Well, we're grossly hooked. I need to. Well, actually, the move has been good for me being forced to set it down. So I think I quit cold turkey just
That's
out
good.
Of necessity.
That's good. You got to break free. Yeah. But board games are
board
good too.
Games. What's going on in 2024? You are here to be my resource of telling me what should I expect?
So I am going to con you into playing an 18XX game this year.
Great.
So expect that.
Can't wait.
And a lot, I mean, so I'm going to say my play diet right now is 50% old weird games and then 50% like just trying to stay current and play whatever the hip new thing is. So for instance, last weekend I played Santiago, a very old game, which I adored. And then last night I played Kinfire Delve.
Okay.
Which was pretty good. Yeah. It was, I think I'm excited to explore a little bit more. I just wanted to see, I think, you know, Patrick's working on Dungeon Crawler. And so we talk a lot about Gloomhaven and like, what does it mean to like make a better Gloomhaven?
Right.
But actually like, that's a pretty bad way of framing the conversation because Gloomhaven's like 7 years old now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people have had 7 years to make better Gloomhaven. So it's fun to play Kinfire and kind of sort through it. Mm-hmm. But for new stuff, there's a bunch of things I'm excited about. Capstone is re-releasing one of the best train games that's ever been made. It's called South African Rails. And it's coming out in the summer. And I've talked to Clay about it and like their Iron Rails series, which has Irish Gage and a bunch of other really great games. It's sort of like an okay seller for them.
Uh-huh.
Like it's not climbing the hotness,
yeah.
But they're great games. And this one, which may be, you know, I don't know if it's going to be the end of the line or if they're going to take a little bit of a break or anything, but South African Rails is like one of the best railway games ever made.
Cool.
And so it's coming out. It'll be out probably this summer.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
That's fun.
And then in Kickstarter nonsense, I am like mildly excited for Mordred, which is the new Simon game. And it's because, I mean, first of all, I think Simon's non-zombie side output is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And like Rising Sun and Ankh, I think I was pleasantly surprised by both of those games. And Mordred is interesting to me because the studio, it's like the same dev team that worked on those games, but now they're getting to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And so I likened it a little bit to like the late stage Root expansions where like I'm not as involved. Yeah. Like Eric Lang, I'm sure, was like barely involved in Mordred, but it's the team that he built. And so I kind of want to see, you know,
what they come up
with. What they're up
to. That is fun. That's cool. Yeah. I've, like many things, Rising Sun has always been on my list of games to check out and try. And
it's
been recommended to me many, many, many times. So
it's also the thing that I think Rising Sun does really well is that it is very clean, very easy to get to the table. Mm-hmm. So like I've got a copy of it. We'll play it sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
We're going to put it in our big pile of
things. Matt has to play.
and then let's see, I'll do two more little ones.
Okay.
Two more fast ones.
Sure.
Fast one. I am excited about a bunch of new GMT things. Mark Herman's Rebel Fury is coming out, which is like he has this really interesting simple hex encounter war game series that is gorgeous maps, and it's like coming next week. So I'm pumped for that. And Herman is like just one of the best working war game designers.
Gotcha.
So it's exciting whenever he does anything new. And then on the newer side of wargaming, I think Red Dust Rebellion will come out this year, which is a coin game, so it's a counterinsurgency game. But instead of having a difficult modern subject, like the Colombian drug wars, it's about like a revolution on Mars, and it takes place in like near future.
Yeah.
And I love hard sci-fi, and I love Kim Stanley Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, like I want a game that takes place on Mars where like the eco terrorists are trying to destroy the space elevator.
Right.
Like, I want that. but also like GMT sees it as an opportunity to mix things up and like try to do like a little bit more of an accessible coin game.
Yeah.
I just got, I'm gonna have to look over it so I pronounce it right. Vijava Nagara, which is the first series, first of their Irregular Conflict series, Crossblock Expressway comes out later. And I read the rules to it last night. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to play it. So I'm really happy to see GMT make the turn to like more accessible war games. So.
Yeah. I remember Garrick Samples talking about
that
game.
Yeah, he loves that game.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of sleeping on it a little bit.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Couldn't resist any longer.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Cole. Also, I should throw out one of the other games I'm looking forward to is also Whirligigs. Molly House,
are we
feel good about 2024 for it?
Yeah, it's like it's so close to being done that over the weekend, usually I don't talk about Molly House in work hours, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Over the weekend, I put the rules into layout, which is like, ooh, that means that things are
That's
getting close.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what I told Drew is like, we're at the step in the game's development where I just need to play it like 30 times.
Yeah.
And then it'll be done.
Yeah. It's always funny when you get to that set where you say these types of things. So it's like, I just need to play it 30 more times and then it's going to get. I remember ARK's going through that.
Yeah,
Ahoy's been going through that recently, the Ahoy expansion, which I'm also excited for. But it's like, yeah, Nick's been like, I just need like 10 more Leviathan games and I'm good.
You just like all of the. So there's this step of dev where it's like not quite like cookbook engineering, but it's close to it where the problems are just really obvious.
Yeah.
And you just play it a few more times and you're like, oh, there's like a few ways to fix this.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no more room for like inspiration or highfalutin stuff.
Right.
And Molly House is there. And so we're like getting art in and it's really exciting. But I'm hopefully delivering to backers like towards the end of the year.
Cool.
We're like right in that, like not sure it's going to happen.
Yeah.
On schedule yet phase, but there's a reasonable chance of it. The actual design is like very close to
that. Yeah. Very cool. Okay. Thanks.
Sweet. Cool. Hey, thanks, Matt. Okay.
Games on my list.
Oh, did you write them down? Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Nick Brockman, hi. How are
you? Hey, Matt. How are you?
It's going really good. I've been getting to hang out with you so much lately.
I know.
Because I get to play Ahoy and the stuff you're working on.
Yeah. Now you're here physically. I get to see you in person.
Now I'm here. I'm looking right at you. It's the craziest thing to actually be here. But we're going around and making you all talk about games you're excited for 2024 because I don't play other board games, so you're actually telling me what I need
what
to
things
get
you
excited
could,
for.
Yeah, no, about
year. Yeah,
yeah, no. I'm a taste maker. You
okay.
know, no,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
Good, good, good.
No, yeah, I think a few of them that I'm excited about were one of them I know is coming out at Gen Con is I think I forget who's republishing it, but Pagan is getting a kind of republished re-release for the U.S. and that's a two-player asymmetric deduction game.
Oh, cool.
A lot of people mentioned like Netrunner alongside and whatnot. You know, one person's playing as the witch hunter, another person's playing as the witch. There's like nine people in town who might be the witch, and
oh
you're trying
gosh.
To like deduce who it might be. If you kill the wrong person, you lose.
But it's two-player.
Just a two-player.
That's fascinating.
Asymmetric. Yeah, like 1v1.
I'm super into that.
Looks really cool. I just posted in, I saw that Allplay is republishing Dice Fishing Roland Catch as Lure. And Dice Fishing, anybody who knows me, is like one of my top 10 games. It's a sleeper hit in my friend group. We love Dice Fishing. I've played it so many times.
That
so I'm
rules.
Glad that that's getting another re-release. What else here? Also, I've been going to the store. I told my coworkers, I'm like, I have purchasing intent, which is when I know I shouldn't be going to game stores because I'm like looking for things maybe.
Yeah.
And one of them is, I think it just came out, is Mirabunta, which is a... Again, a two-player, I cut, you choose Roland Wright, where it's like I roll the pool of dice. It'll be like a red three, a two green, and then I put them into two piles.
Uh-huh.
You split them, and then we will like area control mark on the map. You know, like I get to now take three red sections on the map. You get to take the two green ones. And
yeah.
then there's like a little, has like a dry erase board. So you use the board over and over again. You clear it
okay.
up. But I think it's a Knizia design. It seems really clever, though. It's like bug themed.
Cool.
A lot of things in my...
That's
the things
clever.
About it, like about it.
Yeah.
Also, here's the other one. Colosseum, I saw, is getting I think the Kickstarter is going to be in 2024. So this might not technically be a 2024 release.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a, like the 2008 game Colosseum.
Okay.
Is getting a, republish, re-art done. It's got Eno Tool on it again and stuff.
Yeah.
It looks awesome, though.
Wow.
I think Colosseum board game theme is like a 10 out of 10 cool theme. I think it's such a good theme for a game. I'm like really excited to see a new one come out.
That rules.
And then the final one I'll mention is The Gang, which is, I've only read about it, but it's pitched as a cooperative poker hand building game. I'm like a lot of people been big on the Balatro kick and whatnot. And been playing all that. And yeah, no, it's made by the same people who did Zendo and stuff. Okay. And if you know anything about, I think it's Looney Labs, is it's like, I don't know, they have a very unique style of games that they both make and enjoy. And I'm excited to see how The Gang gets in there, because Zendo is one of the weirdest, like, deduction.
Yeah.
It's almost like a camp game.
Okay.
Sold as a board game also. So I'm curious to see what they do with, like, a more traditional card game. I feel like they're also, with the naming, I think they're trying to kind of ride on some of, like, the Crew kind of, like, adjacency. I think it's supposed to be, like, a small box.
Yeah.
Four-player, like, co-op. That's poker game seems very cool.
Well, you're kind of a big two. I noticed a handful of two players.
I've said that before in this, in the staff. I'm like, I think I play, and Cole pushed back because he plays a ton of war games. So Cole also plays a ton of two-player stuff. But I was like, in the boxes that are specifically two-player, I'm like, I'm a huge fan of two-player specific games.
That's cool.
I think there's a lot of space there. Amazing. I grew up playing Yu-Gi-Oh! So
there, that's it. Yeah. Well, thanks, Nick.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Hi, Brooke.
Oh, no.
Yeah, how are you?
Hi, Matt.
This is like basically my boss, Brooke. Like sort of my boss.
Kind of.
Like basically my boss.
I mean, yeah.
Basically my boss.
Yeah.
You are so excited to tell me about a game. Will you please tell me about your game?
I've got two games, actually.
Heck,
and they're
in
a theme. I'm really excited. So I just received my Kickstarter copy of Let's Go to Japan.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I was so excited that this game exists is because I am planning my own first trip to Japan.
Yeah.
And so I told myself that I should back this Kickstarter, because then wouldn't it be funny if I then use the game to legitimately plan my trip to Japan and just leave it up to, you know, or whoever made the best itinerary and like scored the highest.
Yeah.
I would just do those things. I would just actually do those things.
That's incredible.
I probably won't actually do that, but it was really fun to think about at the time. So I'm really excited about that. That is from Alderac Entertainment. The designer is Josh Wood, who also designed Cat Lady.
Yeah.
I also really like cat games, which will kind of move into the next selection. I was reviewing the BGG release list for 2024, because sometimes I feel like I don't have any idea.
Well, you sent it over, and there were 375 games on the list.
How do you even keep track
of
that
many?
No, you don't.
That's why I just play two. It's the reason why I just play two games.
I mean, just narrow. Yeah. Like, it's quality over quantity is what I'm saying. But on that list, they have a game called Kyoto no Neko, which is the cats of Kyoto, which is also in Japan. And I also love cat games. So that's by Madigo, and it's the designer of Meeple Circus, Cedric Millet.
Cool.
And so you're just running around Kyoto like doing stuff and like stealing food and like and hanging out with people and like getting pets and stuff like that. And so that's going to be my, I don't have it yet, but that is the one I'm looking forward to. I believe it's an Essen release this year.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. To tell me about your surprise when you opened up your Let's Go to Japan.
I had forgotten that I had backed the super fancy version.
Yeah.
So I was kind of excited because it came all wrapped in like this beautiful furoshiki, and I also had ordered the porcelain bowls for tokens.
That's beautiful.
Which completely unnecessary and excessive, but it's too late. And I'm glad. I'm glad that I supported this project, and I hope that they use that money to make more games.
Yeah, that rules. Cool.
Yep.
Thanks, Brooke. This is just Ted's list. Ted just has a list, a running list on his phone of games he wants. Ted is the money guy for Leader. Maybe you all haven't been introduced to him yet on the show, but he's my buddy and he's my coworker now. And Ted, what are you excited for in 2024?
Yeah, so the first thing is going to be the reprint of Mr. President coming from GMT Games.
Uh-huh.
That's that 14 to 20 hour solo game.
Whoa.
Just about being present between like 2000 and 2020. Wow. That's beyond anything else that I've seen released.
Wow.
So I'm excited to give that one a try. Then we have Endeavor Deep Sea coming, which is a remake of Endeavor Age of Sail, which is just a really smooth playing Euro game that's got rethemed with a submarine kind of exploring the deep sea, coral reef, stuff like that. Yeah. And the last one I think I have is Peacemaker's Horrors of War from Snowdale Design.
Uh-huh.
And they did Lands of Galzier and Dale of Merchants and kind of some of the old stuff. And it is a... Dan Thoreau's got a very good review or preview of it.
Okay.
But it is essentially a game where you are playing these peacemakers, and there are two AI factions that are going to battle with each other.
Uh-huh.
And your job is to reduce the morale of both sides kind of equally until they both come to the table to talk about it. So there's things like, you know, if one side's doing really well, you maybe need to like lead them into an ambush.
That's hilarious.
Or, you know, make both sides take cover at the same time so no fighting happens. Kind of a lot of interesting thematic twists on kind of the war game genre.
That's very cool. Weird. Well, thanks, Ted.
Yep.
This is not a single person has said the same game twice. No
Interesting.
One, no one in this company is looking forward to the same game. It is something that I would note and is fascinating to me.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Ted.
Yep.
I'm here with Alita, production assistant of Leader Games. How's it going?
It's going all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good. So I'm going around and I'm asking everybody what games I should play this year and what they're excited for and what we'll probably be playing in the office that I work in now.
Yeah.
So what do you got for me?
I'm looking forward to the Morrison Game Factory.
Whoa.
I've just found out about it, but it's a narrative puzzle game and it's written by one of the, I think she worked on Sandman.
Okay. Oh.
And some other like big.
Yeah. Big, big narrative
TV
stuff.
Franchises.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to see what she does with it.
Very cool. Just a story told in puzzle form. We're looking at the BGG together now. Narrative puzzle adventure game based in a board game factory full of mystery. This is fascinating.
Yeah. It comes with like beautiful components that look like one of the early board game boards and everything. It seems really like immersive. And I think it comes with like a fully built out pouch that has like locks on it and stuff.
Very production design heavy kind of thing. That's very cool. Awesome.
It looks beautiful. I'm hoping it's as good as it looks.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Alita.
Here we are. We've done all those other things that we did in this great episode that I'm here with EJ. EJ doesn't know anything about the stuff that we just did. He's got food in the oven.
Yeah.
We've only got a little bit of his time. Welcome to the fun down. This is the part of the show where we just have a little bit of fun as compared to all the business. I don't even know what this episode really is at this point because I haven't edited it yet. And Matt got all of the clips that we're using. This is going on here at the end. But this episode, what it was about, EJ.
Okay.
This episode was about something, and you can hit us with. I'm glad to have you here. Actually, welcome, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a very short, you know, period of time here.
Yeah, I got 14 minutes till I got to get the pizza out of the oven.
Okay, that's okay. I think we can do
time's
this. I think we can do this. So, what is your most anticipated board game release of 2024?
Zarks count.
We've already said Arx, but you can say Arx. Yeah, that. I mean, you can say.
I mean, that would be my. I mean, I guess the Heat expansion is the other one. Yeah. So I'm a huge Heat pedal to the metal guy. Ask Hunter. I scoured Gen Con last year.
You were prowling.
Thank you. Yes, I was prowling for this bad
boy. Prowling.
Like, I almost settled for the Thunderdome game. Like, I almost settled. No.
Not for my boy.
Only the best for me. I'm not saying Thunderdome's bad. It's probably a great game, but.
Yeah. But it's not Heat.
I needed Heat.
Well, tell people what is Heat? This has been all about. It's been like a regular board game podcast this week, and I hate it. But tell us about Heat. What's Heat?
Yeah, Heat's great. Heat is a hand management game is the best way to describe it. But it's in the form of car race. If you've ever played Flamme Rouge, it's by the same creators of that game, which is a downhill biking game, or not necessarily downhill, just a cross country biking game. Similar to the Tour de France, but this is it's kind of reskinned into a different sort of game where you control an F1-ish car, an F1-esque car, and you race on fictional tracks. Mm-hmm. And these fictional tracks, you know, they are inspired by locations, you know, similar tracks from these locations. But the base game comes with four tracks, Italy, UK, France, and US. The four best countries,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. I mean, not the UK, obviously, but Italy.
And probably not Italy.
No, also, I like Italy. Actually. Dude, no, I got okay, some. I got well. Some. I just got Deep Red on 4K Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. So you actually like Italy then.
I love yeah.
I you're right. You know what? I watched Moonstruck. I watched Moonstruck recently.
Yeah,
so
dude.
I'm a big Italy fan.
Yeah, dude. Italy's cool. The UK, not cool. Italy, just fine. All right. Pizza, yeah. Very good. Pasta, pizza, very good.
Very good. So, yeah, you're basically racing around a track.
Mm-hmm.
The game is just perfectly crafted to play any amount of players. You know, you can play with like two friends and then four AI, and the AI is just so good. I've never seen the AI in a board game be so perfect the way that Heat Pedal to the Metal is, but it is. And you should just check it out for yourself. You're essentially just racing around a track, two to three laps, depending on the track, hijinks ensue. I don't really know how else to describe it. It's just a car racing card hand management game, similar to Bellatro. So,
Bellatro? Oh, do you want to talk about Bellatro? Is that what?
Oh, no. Sorry, I don't actually. We should talk about that ever again.
You know,
we
my most anticipated game, as in game I'm anticipating playing as soon as this is over,
mm-hmm,
is
mm-hmm.
Bellatro. So
yeah,
technically,
for sure.
That's an anticipated game for me. What does the, tell us this though, what does the expansion bring that you're excited about?
So it's going to bring one extra car. So the base game kind of comes with, for slots, with eight cars. So you know that there's going to be expansions. Like when you bought the base game, they were like ready to expand it already. So the first expansion is called Heavy Rain. It comes with two new tracks, which is Mexico and Japan. And then it comes with an extra car, so you'll have seven cars on the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the supplemental cars that come with the seventh, all the supplemental cards that come with the seventh card, essentially. So there'll be new AI cards and things like that. So you'll be able to update your version, essentially, with this box and take out all of the stuff. You know, it's one of those, what do you call it, like holistic expansions, right?
Yeah.
Where, kind of like Prophecy of Kings that your listeners might know. You know,
yeah, they might know
that. It's an expansion that is meant to be
They might know. They might know Prophecy of Kings.
You know, I wouldn't put it past them to know that one. They might know that one.
They might know about that. Yeah.
I know about it.
Well, yeah, no, I like a holistic expansion. I definitely want everything to get attention. I don't want it to just be like,
right,
here's this module that you just kind of graft onto the side of your dang thing.
Yeah, and you know, there are some games that have that like modular way of being. I mean, TI3 was kind of modular in its own.
Oh, for sure. It was very modular.
Right, yeah. It was like all the expansions weren't like, they didn't necessarily hold hands and walk down the street.
No.
You know, there were definitely a lot of pushing and pulling in different directions in some of those expansions. So
absolutely.
But some games can make it work. I don't think Twilight Imperium is one of those games that can make it work. You either play with the expansion or you play completely without, obviously. So, but Heat is a game where, like I said, once you buy the update, it's like, yeah, you've updated your game, essentially.
Right.
It's just like downloading an update to Bellatro.
Yeah. Oh, Bellatro. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second
it's
time you brought
minutes,
it up.
8 minutes. We got to
book it.
We really got to book it.
Well, where are we at with, I mean, you've brought it up. We may as well have just a kind of update on where we're at with Bellatro these days.
Sure.
I feel like we've all slowed down, which is nice.
One run a day. I mean, we basically,
one run a day.
We limit ourselves, right?
Yes.
I think that was your idea initially, was to just be like, well, you know, I limit myself to one run a day is what you said to me.
Yes.
You said this to me.
I did say that to you. And I meant it, you know.
Okay, so I've been doing more than one run a day.
Well, I try to keep it at one run a day.
It's kind of like counting your calories a little
yes.
bit, you know?
Yeah, I cheat.
You
I have cheat
days.
Cheat days. Okay, we all got to have our cheat days.
Sometimes, you know, your diet slips and there's like 3 or 4 days where you're binging, you know,
where I get a little purging, extra, a little bit extra Bellagio time. Like, for example, I was waiting on you to jump on this call.
Right.
And I mean,
that's like free. That's like girl math, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's girl math.
That's free Bellagio time. Like, you're waiting, you know? What are you going to, what else are you going to do, you know, during that time?
Yeah.
I mean, God, it's coming to iOS, Hunter. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's coming to iOS, and that's very bad. I was hoping there would be more. And I mean, I guess, I don't know what if the date is announced at this point, but people are writing about it. And it really seems like they're trying to get out as fast as they can. And I don't like it.
It feels apocalyptic. It feels apocalyptic. Like, I think we're doomed. Like, the post Bellagio sort of metaverse that we're going to be living in.
Yeah, I told a friend of mine about it, and I felt guilty, and I think I already talked about that. Mm-hmm. But then literally last night, another comedian friend of mine, we were like waiting to like go up at a mic, and he had pulled up his phone and he was playing a card game I didn't recognize. It was just some card game. And I was like, I saw it and I was like, oh, dude, you like card games? And he was like, yeah, dude, I love card games. And I was like, oh, dude, you got to check out Bellagio. And he's like, oh, what's Bellagio? And I just halfway through, I'm like, I don't know why I said that. Just don't worry about it. Like, just don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't ruin his life or this person's life, whoever they are.
He's going to get it. He has an iPhone. I saw his iPhone. I'm it's going to happen.
Oh, it's Jover.
Yeah, it's Jover, dude. Person. It's Jover for that guy. Dang. So whatever, you know. Wow.
I miss my kind of pre-Bellagio life. Things were a lot simpler.
Yeah.
It was just me and my Xbox Series S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you got
Xbox Game Pass.
You got a PlayStation 5 now, I noticed.
I know. This is all because of Bellagio, really. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, you know.
I'm not really sure, actually, how Bellagio could have gotten you to buy a PS5.
Correlation, causation.
Correlation is causation. I see. Yeah. If you can connect it to something else, that's causation.
Yeah,
that's all you need.
If you can just really figure out how to connect those dots, it's kind of how conspiracy theories start.
Is a video game. PlayStation 5 is a video game.
Video game.
Yeah.
I think we're on the same page. I think we're all going the same direction here. I did download Gran Turismo 7 for the PlayStation 5. That game rips.
Yeah, dude.
First off. Also, the PlayStation 5 controller is incredible. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
I know I've heard you say that before.
It owns.
It's really good. I don't really understand how to express that to people.
I mean, I will say there's not enough games that use it, but.
Sure, but Gran Turismo does.
Uh-huh.
Like, it uses the little trigger pressure thing.
Oh, man.
For your gas and brake. Like, you know how it, like, kind of locks it up a little bit?
Yeah.
It uses that, like, pressurized. And you can turn up the sensitivity of either of those.
I love that.
I was blown away by this thing. I could not believe. I mean, if you're going to pay money for it, folks, like, if you're going to pay $400, $500, $600, whatever you are willing to spend on a PS5, you're buying the controller.
That's really all they have is the hook. And it's a good hook.
It's a good hook.
Everyone needs to it should be like.
Just use it once.
You got to use it. You got to give it a shot.
Find a friend with it. Play Astro's Playroom for like 5 minutes.
Come over to my house. I'll let you play it on my OLED, okay? You can come play it. Whatever you want. I don't care, man.
Sure.
You can come over. Sure. Just try my PlayStation 5 for a little bit.
Just play it. Just play my 5, dude.
Just play my 5. I got 5 on it, dude.
I got 5 on it.
Should have been the slogan for the PlayStation 5.
Dude, how good would it have been if they just teamed up with, like, Jordan Peele to, like, do that same remix that he did for his second movie?
Yeah, not even.
For the PlayStation 5.
Yeah. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
That would be sick, dude. I agree. So before your pizza comes out of the oven,
yeah,
I just
we got about
say,
2.5 minutes.
So you're going to be coming to visit this weekend. And
yeah,
we've already sort of announced that you are going to be on the ARX journey with us.
Yes.
Are we playing ARX this weekend? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, I would be down to play. I mean, I don't know. What the nature of a physical copy of ARX looks like at this point in time.
Oh, we can make it happen.
Obviously we can make it happen, but I'm just saying, like, you know, the last time I saw a physical copy of Arx, dude. It was in a root box and, you know, had the Arx board taped on it. And the Arx, you know, at the time, the Arx board was completely different.
Right.
Than what it is now. And it's, I guess, final state, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're shipping that now. I hope it's in its final state. I was able to get in on the ground floor of the Kickstarter just at the end. I say ground floor. I would say I was jumping on the moving elevator. I was jumping on there right at the end. But I was able to secure a copy with the miniatures. Very excited about
Heck
that.
Yeah.
So, heck yeah. But yeah, physical copy of Arx, I'd be down to play. I really want to get into campaign stuff, but you know, I don't think we're quite there yet. And we're obviously continuing to focus on small arcs and the factions that come with small arcs and all of that. But campaign arcs is going to be like a whole journey. So buckle your seatbelts, folks.
Yeah. Campaign arcs is going to blow everything wide open. And I think that, you know, I mean, I feel like the reason to cover base game first is to make the case that the product is making, basically. That, because it's like, if they're telling us that you need to go on this journey, then right. I'm going to take that on good faith and go through that journey of playing, of getting accustomed to base game, and then entering into the world of campaign.
Right.
When I hope what I glean from, here's what I hope. I don't know this yet because we're mid journey here. I hope that when campaign starts, I feel like the time invested in base game pays off somehow, as far as my familiarity with the game and the way that the onboarding, because campaign is crazy. Every time I played campaign, I'm like, this is just a wild amount of stuff.
Different game.
Yes. It is very different. Yeah.
I am excited as well. I think that getting the basic strategies down, I mean, I've played a few games, you know, I'm still under 10 total games, but I'm probably mm-hmm. over 5. So I'm somewhere between the 6 and 9 range.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
And, I'd say in those games, like I'm really starting to glean that the board presence is so important.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel important, but it's just like, it is just so important in this game. So, that's like really my first tip to anybody. Any game I've played, the player with really the most board presence has won. I would say, I don't know, 5 out of the 6 or 9 games that I've played.
So. Yeah. 6 or 9, somewhere in between there. How are we doing on time, baby? How we doing?
Oh, we're out of it. We're so
out of time. Okay. Well, hey, thank you for being on the show before you get the pizza out of the oven. Go get that pizza, EJ, and I'm going to take us into the rundown, and then we will be done. Thank you.
No problem. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, I want to thank our Weird Bears, Big Al Cappuccino, Squeamish Emu, Brass Bird, Cabal of Soul, Kaluin, Daryl, Drago Thaxton, Elspeth SC, Carnal, Alice, Imlachevsky, Nick, Absol, Arwise Tang, and new Weird Bear, K. Ruthless. Hey. And I want to thank my baby child big friends, Kraken, Jadim Jedi, Portmandia, Relic Stan, and Vince. Please rate this podcast on an app, any apps at all that allow rating of podcasts, please do that. It helps with visibility. It helps people find the show because there are a lot of people out there that, you know, they play Twilight Imperium and they don't know, like, is someone talking about this? Is anyone talking about this anywhere? People are always saying that and, you know, they haven't already found us. And you know, of course, I'm being sarcastic. I think we've gotten to everybody at this point. You should just be rating Twilight Imperium. Tell people about Twilight Imperium. That's how we spread the great gospel, the great word. Tell people that Dane promised us Codex 4, and if we don't get it, bacterial weapon on his house. # bacterial weapon on Dane's house. Which is not, that's a joke. That's not a threat, at all. Because I'm saying it this way, okay? Please send us this Imperium life stories to spacecatspeaceturtles@gmail.com. We haven't done one of those episodes in a while. It will probably be a minute before we do them. We like to space them out so that we collect the good stories. But, you know, that you know, let us have some good stuff just randomly. It will get sorted. It will go into the pile, and then we will go through the pile. I got some Patreon updates for everybody. Weird Bears and Teensy Sprouts. Okay, here we go. Shirt orders are officially in. Okay, as of last week, they are in. I got a lot of people in last minute, which was great. So I appreciate that y'all listen to me whenever I do these segments, which is good. In the meantime, I'm working on Teensy Sprouts commemorative pins, getting those done. The factory that I do it with, they've kind of been funny a little bit. So I'm hoping that we can go with the way that I've done all of our pins the whole time, because I'm happy with them. But I don't know. Every time I reach out to them, it's a little bit like, oh yeah, you know what? You know, we talk, we're buds. Yinsterhood. I got one final Mentak practice game on this Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. Central Time. There are still spots available. Okay, so if you're in the Yinsterhood and you can play, I would love for you to play with me. I am playing as Mentak. I warn you. I'm sorry about that. I know people. A bit of a bummer when people are like, oh, you're playing Mentak. Not because Mentak is great or whatever, like I'm going to win the game. I'm not going to win, but I will make it, you know, you'll have to play in a game with Mentak. So that, you know, that's not super fun. Homebrewers Guild. Next week, I'm going to be announcing the date for our Petra Medusa play test. Petra Medusa is a prominent member of the Homebrewers Guild. And they have a variant of Twilight Imperium that sort of makes it like a social deduction game. And we're going to give that a try. We're going to step away from Twilight Imperium Zero Edition for just a second to focus on basically somebody that went ahead and made their own version of Twilight Imperium Zero Edition. And maybe it'll be really good. And then I'll just say, like, this is actually what we would have done with all of that time. And then we'll move on to something else. You know, something I was thinking about the other day, I'm just going to, you know, I'm a man of too many ideas, I'll tell you that much, and I need to slow down. But I was thinking, you know, maybe it would be kind of neat to do ports of every version of Twilight Imperium into Twilight Imperium 4th Edition. And what do I mean by that? I mean, let's take the rules of 1st edition, of 2nd edition, of 3rd edition, and find a way to make a very TI4, Prophecy of Kings, version of what those versions of the game were going for. So a sort of mashup, I think, where we change things to make them more like TI3, but have it all play exactly like Twilight Imperium 4th edition. I think that could be really fun, actually. So that's a whole new idea right there. I don't know, you know, I hate to pitch the Homebrewers Guild something else when I haven't even really cut my teeth on the old idea being Zero Edition. But I don't know. What do we think about that? Does anybody think anything about that? I think it could be fun. I also think it would be fast. We have stuff to work off of. We have the rulebook for Twilight Imperium 4. We have the rulebook for TI3. We have the rulebook for TI2. Rulebook for TI1, and we just kind of mash them together. We just put them together and we say, yeah, that's how that works now. I think it could be cool, especially doing, and it is kind of in the spirit of my whole idea anyways, was sort of like making prequel stuff for TI4. Regardless, whatever. Galactic Council, this was your thing. You got your thing. This was your episode. I hope you liked it. I'm sorry we sort of sidestepped you. I'm not going to say it was always the plan to do it this way, but it kind of became apparent that you really kind of needed some board game people in order for this episode to make sense. And I think you got a fun freewheeling episode. And you know, I liked it. I'm telling you that you liked it. You liked it. You liked it. And God, here I am. I always hate doing this podcast by myself, not being able to bounce anything off of anyone. I feel like I just instantly go into a pit of the self that I don't really love. It all becomes fractals. My conversations when I'm by myself, it makes me feel a little little put out there, a little, I don't know, vulnerable. It's like stand up, but I can't hear you. So I don't know if you're, you know, I don't even know if I'm particularly trying to be funny. I just think when I talk alone, I want people to be laughing, and it doesn't matter if I'm saying something funny or not. It's just to fill the air, to fill the space. Maybe next time I do a kind of solo pod, I will just kind of cue up a laugh track, and I'll just play an ongoing laugh track while I just kind of talk, you know, into the abyss, into the great darkness. But, you know, hey, I hope you liked this episode. I hope you had a good time. I hope you're having a good week. Sorry the episode went up a little late. That's because this was kind of a complicated edit, and I'm not really an editor, and I had to edit this one. So, you know, Matt's always asking y'all to say nice stuff to him. And so, I mean, why not say nice stuff to me? If you thought the edit was good, if you listened to this whole episode and you didn't even realize that, you know, I edited it, if you thought it was like one of the good, like a good Matt edit, and you made it all the way here, then maybe, you know, I don't know, reach out and tell me I did a good job. Let me just beg for you to tell me that I'm a good boy and that I didn't let anybody down this week. Okay, we gotta cut it off there. That's gonna be it. But yeah, have a good week, and we will see you next week with a very normal episode. I am going to be presenting the super guide for the Mentak Coalition. Okay, bye. I love you, bye.
Thank you for listening to Space Cats Peace Turtles, and thanks to Ben Prunty for the use of his music. You can find more at benpruntymusic.com and benprunty.bandcamp.com. Pax Magnifica, Bellum Gloriosum.